Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone. Let's look to the Word of God tonight. Allow the Lord to speak to us. Message tonight, walk softly and carry a big stick. Genesis 15, we're going to read through the passage and then break it down as we go through in a few moments. Genesis 15, 1 to 18. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants, I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." Genesis 15, great passage on God coming to a man to make covenant with him. God wants to make covenant with us, every person here. Verses 1 to 4 again. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And then Abram said, "Look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Abram said to the Lord, "Lord, what will you give me?" Well, isn't God enough, Abraham? Isn't God enough for you? God knows that we need him. But God knows that we need something else as well, that we need something lasting. We need inheritance in the earth. We need legacy. We need something that's going to endure in the earth. The Bible says the promise of God is the meek shall inherit the earth. Those who are humble-hearted, those who seek the Lord, those who are controlled, who Jesus is Lord over, the meek shall inherit the earth. God knows fully that we need him as our shield and our exceedingly great reward, but he also knows that we need posterity, so to speak. We need legacy. We need possession. We need inheritance. We need something that remains in the earth. So he comes to us. It's the Lord that came to Abram. Verses 5 to 6. Then the Lord brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he credited it to him for righteousness. God says, "Abram, come outside, count the stars. Get a vision for your life. I want to give you a godly vision. Get a vision for your life, for your future, for your family. Get a vision for descendants, for souls, for kingdom finances, for kingdom involvement, for kingdom advancement. Abraham, count the stars. Get a vision beyond yourself. Get my vision into your spirit. My vision for you." And the Bible says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word from God. Abraham heard a word from God. He said, "I'm going to believe that word, that seed word in my spirit." And God said, "I count it to you for righteousness," a faith righteousness that we need. We believe what God says, and there is a righteousness that is imputed and accounted to us. And to that righteousness, he added a works righteousness, because faith without works is dead. Justified by faith and justified by works, the Bible says. Faith without works is dead. It's not true believing faith at all. It's silent. It's static. It remains lifeless. But when we hear a word from God in our spirit and say, "I'm not only going to have the righteousness that comes by believing that word, but I'm going to have a righteousness that is by works as well. I'm going to work with God for this inheritance. I'm going to work with God for his destiny on my life, for what he wants to do, something lasting that he wants to put in my life in the earth." Verses 7 to 9. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." How will I know, Abram said, how will I know that I'm going to have this inheritance in the earth that you, God, want to give me? This godly vision that you're birthing in my life, in my family, for my descendants, for generations to come. How will I know that I will inherit this promise of God? God said, "Bring me a sacrifice." Because God always moves on the basis of sacrifice, on offering. Abram, bring me a sacrifice. And when you have prepared that sacrifice, and when you have watched over that sacrifice, a smoking oven and a burning torch will pass between the parts. There will come a moment when the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit will move through that sacrifice, and you will know that the inheritance is yours. Verse 10. Then he brought all these to him. Abram brought all these sacrifices to the Lord and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. God came to cut covenant with a man, to give him inheritance in the earth. And the man prepared a sacrifice. And the Bible says when the vultures came, because they'll come, when the vultures came down on the sacrifice, Abram drove them away. Walk softly and carry a big stick. There is not a vulture There is not a bird of prey that can steal the promise of God. There is not a bird of prey that cannot be driven away with the stick, the rod, this Bible, the written word of God. And Abram went to work, because the enemy comes to steal the promise from us. He comes to defile the sacrifice. He comes to break the covenant that God is wanting to make with us as individuals and with our families and even with the house of God. John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life," Zoe, God life, "and that they may have it more abundantly." And listen, sometimes like Abraham, we find ourselves between the thief and the promise of God. And Abraham was in a warfare. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. God says, "I've come to make a sacrifice in you and give you a covenant." In Mark chapter 4, 3 to 4, these are Jesus' words. He said, "Listen. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Jesus, the Son of Man, Jesus, the sower. "And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." Verse 14, Jesus interpreted the parable. He said, "The sower sows the word, the promise of God. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately." He's that quick to take the promise. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Jesus was very clear. He said, "I'm sowing seed. I'm sowing promise. I'm sowing the word of God. I'm sowing God life into my people." But Satan comes immediately. He comes quickly, and he tries to steal that seed. He tries to take that promise from my people. Jesus wasn't referring only to those who try to get saved on the day of salvation, of their salvation. The enemy is there seeking to take that gospel seed out of them. Don't give your life to Christ. Don't follow the Lord. Satan is there immediately to try and take that seed, that promise of God. But this is a word that goes all through our life, because we fight the thief all the days of our life, all the years of our life, and some days more than others. He's there to steal the promise of God. Sometimes you can feel his presence. You want to serve God during the day, you want to walk in victory, and there's that voice trying to steal the promise of God so that you say something else and you give in to something else. We have to war with that word of God. We have to war with the word of God. I think you've noticed this about birds. They get up really early. And sometimes you can hear them chirping when you wake up, going against the word, going against the promise, going against who you are in Christ, going against your destiny, going against your inheritance, going against your family, going against the character of Christ. Abraham drove the vultures away all day long. All day long, Abram watched over that sacrifice. All day long, he contended. He drove off the vultures. They are persistent. You can take the stick of the word of God and quote the word of God. "It is written, it is written, it is written," like Abraham. And they sometimes jump out of the way and jump to the side. And, you know, they stay just outside of reach. And they have an eye on you, and they're watching, waiting for a lapse in our judgment, waiting for a lapse in our vigilance. And all of a sudden, they're back to try and defile the sacrifice and to keep us from the inheritance of the Lord in our life. This isn't easy work, this fight of faith. Ask Abraham. He was tired when it was all done. So, well, how long do I have to drive off the vultures? Well, until the sun goes down and the birds can't see and they retire for the night, then you can rest. How long do I have to drive off the vultures? Till that particular warfare is complete. And a smoking furnace and a burning torch. The presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit moves between the sacrifice you've brought before the Lord. And all of a sudden you know that you have the petition that you desired of Him. Verse 17. And it came to pass. When the sun went down, it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. On that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Abram now held it in his hands. And I guess my question tonight is, does God want to make a covenant with every person, every man, every family? And the Bible answer is yes. He's a God who cuts covenant. He's a God who's looking for people. He's a God who wants to move on the sacrifice of our lives and give us something lasting and help us in the earth. He's our shield. He's our exceeding great reward. No doubt, and fully He is. But He says, I know you need inheritance. I know you need something. The meek will inherit the earth, and I want to give you some legacy. I want to give you something that will last in your life and last in the earth. God comes to cut covenant with every person. Psalm 25, 12 to 14. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. He Himself shall dwell in prosperity, and His descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord in our life, the word of vision, the word of future, the word of kingdom, the words of spiritual destiny in our lives. In Genesis 6, the words to Noah, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. A day of judgment coming, Noah. And the great judgment day is ahead. Noah, I will make my covenant with you and with your sons and with your daughters and with your seed. God coming to make covenant with a man. Psalm 16, 5 to 6. David said, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You are my shield and exceeding great reward. You maintain my lot. He says, Lord, but you have given me something. You've given me possession. You've given me a lot. You've given me territory. You've given me substance in the earth. He said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. God making covenant, God working with families, God working with individuals. Take hold of the promise of God. Prepare a sacrifice and let the burning oven and the blazing torch pass between the pieces of your life. 2 Chronicles 6:14. Solomon said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you. You who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. If you will be loyal to God, He will be loyal to you. He keeps covenant to those and mercy to those who walk before Him with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Loyalty, faithfulness, steadfastness to the Lord, purity of heart. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Let's have the worship ministry come. Acts 20, verse 32. The Apostle Paul said, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, His promises, His counsel, His wisdom. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus said, by faith in me, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. The Lord has come to, He has opened our eyes. He's turned us from darkness to light. He's turned us from the power of Satan to God. He's come to bring us forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. Let the word of God, let the promises of God, like Abraham, the father of our faith, we have to walk in His steps, the Bible says. We walk in the steps of our father Abraham. We work out our righteousness. We work out our salvation like he did. Walk softly and carry a big stick. Know that God wants to establish your life and your inheritance and your family. Do something of lasting value. Give possession. Give a prosperity. Give a power in the earth. Bring the sacrifice. Prepare the sacrifice. Watch over the sacrifice, and you will sense the smoking oven and the blazing torch pass between the pieces, and you will know that you have the inheritance that you desired of the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. The altars are open. Is anyone here tonight? You say, I need to make covenant with God. I need to prepare a sacrifice. Perhaps you feel destitute in the earth, like Abram. I have nothing. Nothing in my own house. Listen, God wants to make covenant with you. God wants to lift you up. God wants to give you an inheritance. He says, come outside, count the stars, get involved with my kingdom, get involved with prayer, get involved with worship, get involved with souls, get involved with the kingdom. I will establish, I will create, I'll give you descendants, I'll give you seed. That promise is for every one of us. There's no one outside this promise of God. So tonight, let's take a moment and say, God, I just want that godly vision in my life from you. You know, sometimes there are testing times. Sometimes you've walked in the covenant. The inheritance of the Lord has come, and then you sense the testing line that comes again, and you know you have to go back at it. It is written, it is written, it is written. I know that I have the petition, the desired of the Lord. Enemy comes to cast doubt and suspicion. Comes to try to defile the sacrifice. The thief doesn't just come once. You have to war against him your whole life. See the blessing and the inheritance of the Lord. So let's thank God. Whatever word he's given you in your life or your family, you know where he's leading you in the earth. begin to protect that inheritance once again. Begin to pray over it. Drive off the vultures. Say, Lord, let your presence and your power move upon my life once again. Move upon this sacrifice. Move upon the work, Lord, that you've begun, that you might finish it, Lord, for you are faithful to do it. So these last few moments as we close out, let's offer ourselves to the Lord. Hallelujah.